interrupting the current neo-Uranio climate change behaviorally controlled energy-starved postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTW RLM 488. Amazing. Keep going. We'll keep doing this. I hope, and I'm encouraged folks are listening and they're working with the information. And I kind of speak to the future in a way a lot of times here. I don't know what to say about how to describe it. We see it coming down, but it's coming down so incrementally. I don't think people understand that even if you're resistant to this thing, well, just being resistant won't be enough, but they slowly incorporate neat things to engage us and entertain us. And even the internet itself became a big deal. So we engage it, and that's really the surveillance system that was set up and controlled. And then the world that we're going into will be funneled through all this. I'm going to set up a few of the original. I was going to go to the last week's players I left on the field. They were very depressed that they couldn't play last week. I'm going to get to those in a moment when I start bringing up a couple of things here. I think almost more like a public service announcement. But before I get to that, remember, being free is not a spectator sport. You got to get yourself behind the woodshed. That's not for you to be brought there. You to bring the miscreants and the officials that purport to have authority that don't actually have it. And I've been explaining how you track that back through. And it's coming over and over. More and more people I'm helping, we're going right to the word is jurisdiction. They have to have the power of it to make a hearing facts and determine their authority. And if they don't have it, it's really over. And in administrative side, if that's not developed on the record by those that purport to have authority, it's typically over. And I say typically because then you're up against the Bar Association members, which under the color of a judicial branch of government, people thought was that they established, didn't know it was overthrown in quite a few states in 1953 and likely the whole nation. If you haven't seen the Promotion of Sustainable Development and what they call reflexive law upon your life, you realize that that's why most people that have any brains in their head say, well, we don't have, there's no justice. That's right. There's no going to be no justice because you don't have property. You're already living in a life. You don't have property, and you may say you don't like it, but you're agreeing by being silent to it that you already are liking it. And the fact is, as I identified here years ago for mining, the miners and their property, because what the government, federal government did is the attorneys lying, fraud, asserted there was no property against a grant of property, a disposal authority for property. They argued anyway, and the judges went with it. And I realized what they were doing was if they take away property in you, you have no rights to anything. You have no property to protect. They don't have to give you due process. It becomes administrative. The so-called judge just determines what may work best for society because there is nothing but that, the commune. And I don't mean that in the nice way. And so everything's tied together. I better move on here because I got plenty of tabs again, a lot of players to play here, a lot of things to explain, and they work integrated all together. But before I get there, I got to say I was able to find Sound Mind simulcast from last week. I don't know why it's so difficult for me to sometimes find his link, but Sound Mind puts together a broadcast every week, and he simulcasts some of the links that we figured out how I can send him the links before we go. And he shows them on our broadcast. And from what I can tell, YouTube didn't censor last week's broadcast. So I was able to see your chat, your live chat. And thank you very much for all everybody that's in the live chat there. Again, not being so connected up, but to know I appreciate everyone that's there. And thanks to the viewers for smashing that thumbs up and liking, at least contributing to what Sound Mind's efforts are. He puts a lot of time and energy, I'm sure, and there's a lot of money that goes into keeping what he's got going. He's got a lot of simulcasts going on all at one time. I appreciate what Sound Mind, I appreciate what you do. Just want to put a shout out. Thank you for all the listeners and viewers listening over there. And last week was a better integration of the RLM family with the Sound Mind family. That we're actually all one family. It just, we seem to, this internet has an ability to separate us and divide us. So thanks again, Sound Mind. And you're at this point, again, your undying support and your innovation on this. Yeah, the good innovation for the broadcast to get the word out. I wish we had more. I want people to understand that's really all I'm here for, is to get people to understand they're not helpless. They also don't have to be complainers, and they can be engaged. And I'm noticing a lot more people are doing some more research to find out things that interest them. How to focus in on where the actual... Again, we live in a society that was organized in a certain way that was co-opted, and they go through a certain process, and they pretend to do certain processes. So understanding what that is and going finding that process to be able to speak to it or deny it, if you get to the right point, you just deny it, and then you move it through there, if it comes against you, is much better than just saying, I have constitutional rights, and then being quiet and going off in a whimper as they steal it all away. So appreciate all the people that are still integrated and still listening. Whether or not I feel, you know, I'd like to see us moving a lot quicker. You know, my sense about this thing that they put on us with the fraud, that I told you, medical martial law, they'd use it to come through, was actually a bigger deal. We saw that come out in a book. They read it to us. I'm not going to say the words right now. Again, it's a censorship thing. Anybody that's been listening long enough knows what we're talking about. I'll get to that here a little bit real quick, but I don't want to break it too soon. Cause a little bit of trouble. Yes, we are being censored, but we have to be intelligent to start raising our words. That's why you'll notice I don't get censored, because I don't speak in direct ways. But I'm sure people, I'm hoping at least, maybe that's one of the problems, I'm expecting too much. But I'm sure people with a brain in their head, with proper cholesterol, right, redneck dentist, they are thinking. And we can work this out as we move along, as we have to. And that just proves we're living in an occupied condition. And it's something I've been speaking against, and how to resolve it, and what to go after all these years. And speaking of redneck dentists, listen to redneck dentists, where you might, where you can learn such things as if, and you ain't at least partially a fathead, you likely ain't thinking, as he was in the last, I think his last broadcast, I was able to quickly hear, cholesterol for the win. As you start understanding, when you start getting into certain things, and you're being told a lot of stuff, it may not be what you're being told. You really have to dig deeper. And as far as that goes, redneck dentist, and I see you're listening in, make sure when you, and I wasn't going to say much about this, but you stated it on your broadcast about the problem, and I didn't know about it until I heard it there, your homestead heart attack. Make sure you file a VAERS, or I'll be asking you to file the VAERS report, and you line out pretty much like you did on the broadcast to prove out those blood clots and that it was not cholesterol, and maybe push it a little further, because you, being your background, you can document the problem where others can't, and the organized criminals are counting that people can't prove the blood clots are being the cause. You can show, you're one of the few people I know that can show a very close time schedule relative to doctors looking at you, your record, and the fact that it wasn't cholesterol. And I'm with you. I don't get that at all. It doesn't make any sense. It makes more sense the other way. So I'll end at that there. I appreciate your efforts now. I'm sorry to hear that you had the serious side effect, and but good to hear that you're still with us, and appreciate your contributions. For those of you, again, listen to the Redneck Dentist, who give you some of those common, there's a homestead type ideas, and how we're going to make it through here. A lot of it's just start being responsible to yourself and those around you, and work together with people. What I want to get to now is the PSAs here, and I guess maybe with Redneck, that's a PSA too. Be careful. There's people that are going to be harmed, and they will survive. They can do things, and we can be there to help them and guide them to maybe remove some of this. And I think he was talking about there's places you can go to look at starting to clear the body out after it got harmed, or apparently harmed, however you want to place that. I think the body's an amazing thing, and I think it can help however, whatever condition you're in. And he's offered a couple of things in the last broadcast, Redneck Dentist on Real Liberty Media. And moving on now to the other PSA here, people in the internet and the DARPA being the weapon that it was. We now see TikTok's in-app browser can log all keyboard inputs, including credit cards, numbers, and passwords. A lot of folks, maybe older, don't get into TikTok, but it's the future. It's the kids. Some people are on TikTok. And I just want to point out, this is not even really new. I think Twitter does it. Twitter does it. If you can see, you can watch it happen in real time. They take down either keystroke when you put in like a pound sign for a hashtag. It goes and checks. It doesn't. It wouldn't be checking if it wasn't collecting up what you're doing. So this is not maybe not new, but I want to point out people that just use these mindlessly use these apps, and it's maybe universal now. TikTok's in-app browser on iOS injects JavaScript code. Well, I'll get the tongue working here quicker. In external websites, which allows a social media platform to track, quote, all keyboard inputs and taps, according to a security researcher, Felix Krauss. TikTok said the code is not used for malicious reasons. To tell you the truth, I could care less. That it's doing it is a problem. Some people may say, I don't care. Well, for those of us that do care, I don't know what else to say about those that don't care. This is a serious incursion. Again, if you've heard and listened very carefully, the government makes stuff up. When you hear about forfeiture, they make stuff up, and you can't address it. It's a third-party attack, if you will, against the things themselves. And that's why I partly bring up the Trump thing. I'm not behind the political side of that. There are some very interesting problems that are developing that we're being notified of what's going on, how they try to excuse this encroachment, and how your life is really vulnerable in a serious ways to these officials. Just make stuff up. And so this is our vulnerability. You can be brought into all kinds of stuff to people that have an irrationality. I mean, they make stuff up and then you can't answer to it. I mean, I've told you, you can't answer to this kind of thing. That's why you have to get back to that black and white. But before I get too late here, we're going to move on real quick. Because here's what starts to happen. Saudi Arabia sentenced a woman to 34 years in prison for tweeting. A Saudi woman has been sentenced to 34 years in prison for retweeting activists through her Twitter account and sharing posts that spoke in favor of the right of women to drive. Now you got to understand, Saudi Arabia is like the head of the Human Rights Commission. If you don't find out, that doesn't tell you about the UN itself, and it continues to be. Salma al-Shabaab was a PhD candidate at the University of Leeds in the UK. And was detained in January 2021 after returning to Saudi Arabia for a vacation. Shahab was initially sentenced to 6 years for using social media to, quote, disturb public order and destabilize the security and stability of the state, close quote, based on having reshared tweets with Saudi activists living in exile who called on the release of political prisoners in the kingdom. And if you don't think we're living in a kingdom, look at the truth, the Ministry of Truth that was trying to be developed, what they're trying to do now, what you're finding out, what's going on behind the scenes with Facebook, Facepalm, Faceplant, Twitter, how they're responding to the assertions of irrationals through FBI, turning everything into a national security concern. This woman was put in for tweets for destabilizing the whole government. And I don't know what more to say about it when you start finding out that every year your TikTok is now found to be not for malicious purposes. It doesn't need to be a malicious purpose for the government to go see it. Everything you put in, all your passwords and everything else, if you don't think your life is already in a matrix, it's just the only thing different, I think, is that it's not all locked into one database yet. And it requires the government has to go look around from all of these so-called social media platforms. I have another link. Saudi Arabia sentence leads a university researcher to 34 years in jail for social media posts. It was expanded because they imposed their terrorism statutes on it. It was only 6 years to start, 6 years being heinous enough. Over the right of women to drive. Amazing. Just amazing. I don't know, what else do we say? This is what, everything is going to be a violation of the government at some point. Everyone thinks it's, I'm not doing anything wrong. There's not going to be anything you can do right. As I look over in Montreal, good afternoon, in the RLM chat, soon to be carbon foot face. Your carbon footprint is what they're after. You are the problem. Everything you do is going to be a national security problem. I don't know if people appreciate this. Really, truly, I think you kind of get the idea, but I don't think you truly appreciate how this starts to come down. And we're going to watch, if I get to the end route of this, we'll see how Kyrgyzstan is becoming the next action part where Australia showed us how they do it or going to do it. Now it's being put into universal action, but we aren't there quite yet, as I want to point off and get head off another national security issue. But they didn't. You didn't realize it was against you, your own government attacking you, wherever you were. And I think the heat is coming on. Why would you bail? But here it is. I think the writing's on the wall for this guy. Anthony Fauci resigns as chief medical advisor. Anthony Fauci has announced his resignation of chief medical advisor to the president and NIAID director after holding the latter position for nearly four decades and seven presidencies. He's knocked them both out. All right. Well, it wouldn't surprise me that he was resigning from the chief medical advisor. I'm surprised he actually didn't. He stayed in that as long as he did after the heat started coming in. But to actually resign from the NIAID, it's the hub of how this thing was managed, is quite amazing. I'm wondering who's behind him. Who's coming in behind? What else are they now coming? I don't have the time to go research it. You need to know the guy is bailing. He's not going away, though, as Fauci is now performing gain of function on the Spanish flu. So I say I, but there's others that were looking at this as well. Why did they collect up the Spanish flu, supposedly the Spanish flu? Why were they collecting it up? Early on, when it hit the news, I said, what are they doing with that? They're going to be making it worse. Why? Well, it's because of this Title 50 thing. It's all a weapon. And all they have to do is show some reason why they need to do it and that it's got a public need, whether or not that's now we find it can even be a fraudulent need and no one will catch it. And there's no remedy to that at this point, even though I'm suggesting strongly on how to be able to get that on out there. Fauci now performing gain of function on Spanish flu. Why make it more virulent? I've asked about this long ago. This guy's not going away. He's just not going to be in the limelight relative to all the decisions as I think people are starting to show up. There's now more inroads from the fringes saying that there's no science in all that we've seen. This is written by Tom Rentz, and if I remember right, that he's the attorney that's counsel for Pam. I think her name was Pam. Excuse me, I don't remember her last name. But anyway, she's the doctor in the middle of the country that's been fighting this. But he did, like I said, I have my own criticism of what's going on here. But gain of function, it starts the process. Then they have to go to dual use so that they get rid of the exception. They must already have the dual use. But you saw how they can bring fraud, and that's supposedly good enough. And you'll have people like Rand Paul go ahead and allow him to make that record so he actually gets the congressional record that complies with the Title 50 is otherwise activity prohibited under law and criminal under Title 18 of the U.S. Code. And in the meantime, he's moving on to do the gain of use. He's resigning as Fauci, fall prey to Fauci, now resigns. He steps back as a judge grants relief to Marines denied religious exemption for vaccine. The United States District Court Judge Stephen D. Merriday on Thursday evening granted a class-wide injunction that prohibits the Marine Corps from enforcing the Biden administration's military vaccine mandate against or discharging Marines who filed for religious exemptions from the mandate and who were denied. I won't say any more. I've talked about a lot of this. This is just on the heels of him moving on. As I said, there's been quite a few little court cases that have shown if you did try something like a religious exemption and they didn't follow the due process, the proponents of the violation are winning in that regard. Moving on now, so I just want to touch base on some pretty groundbreaking things in my mind relative to the shifting that's going on. I certainly don't have the time to go back and see where is this now going to, where's the bouncing ball bounce to? But you're seeing it takes a pressing, and you're seeing the pressure starts to get people to move along. And again, it wasn't interesting to me that he resigned as a chief medical, whatever. He couldn't be the medical guy anyway, but that's what they claim. Your chief medical guy or gal is your local official relative to these communicable diseases anyway. Remember that. Don't ever forget that, and that's where the failure was. And that's the overreach, if we can call it that. That's the jurisdictional breach, I should say it that way, relative to your local law, but had your due process and protections. This judge granting relief is due to federal protection relative to labor and the fact that you do have a religious exemption sitting inside your constitution, which acts against the states as well through the 14th Amendment. So you can't really the 14th Amendment. And boy, without it, what would we be in some regard? We've really lost our way for a long time. in lots of different ways. And again, behind the woodshed, I can't cover it all. All that obfuscation about how that worked causes a lot of confusion. I was talking with another friend of mine, Miner. I said, there's lots of ideas that have come down, starting with patriot ideas. I call them patriots. It doesn't mean that I'm too derogatory against the men and women who tried. But we were just trying to relieve. As I came into this, lots of people have already been in the game, if you will, trying to just want the pain to go away of the government oppression, and did lots of ideas. And I started watching how those were treated, and I said, wait, there's something wrong. Those are wrong. How do they live? Then you do research and you find out they are wrong, how they were being caught, these people, men and women that earnestly wanted to stop the pain of the government oppression. The government caught them up on whatever technicalities or whatever. I started watching that, and that's led me to understand a whole different view, which is why I talk to you today the way I do, on how to avoid all that. And we still get it's a taint that comes from a lot of ideas that weren't fixed. And today, people talk about what happened back when, like it's happening in Viable today, and don't fix those problems that occurred back when, or deal with how the government mistreated or treated them. And I've talked about a lot of this pretty directly in saying when you do something, the government figures out how to stop letting you do that. And why I stopped doing paperwork in defense of, let's say, traffic tickets, because I noticed every time we made a good defense in the book, they would fix the code book so that we couldn't make that defense. And so I said, wait, we're training them to keep us slaves deeper. And so this is a different game we're up against. This is a different battle we're totally up against in here. And it just shows to me, whether anybody else would recognize it, the kind of prison that we're living in. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to even talk about this. We wouldn't even be doing this. I wouldn't be here. We would all be joyously muttering around in our own our own lives, however fate threw us to the winds. So we see changing going on here. We see adjustments. We see a fixing of the problem. But it takes you acting to defend yourself. It's not going to be handed to you. People like Fauci and people like anybody in the government, they win just by asserting a fraud. They win, and that should have never. There's no principle allowed in any organized lawful society that allows that, and yet you're watching it. It has to prove that you're not living in a lawful, just society. I don't know what more to say there. Now what do? We live in that prison. Now what? And I offer what to do. I offer how to make, again, records specific to your problem, specific against a particular subject matter and the officials that are causing the problem. And you attack, you look right in the black and white, do they really have the authority they're wielding? And a number of ways of how to identify that they might not be. Now, for example, so it's not so esoteric, specifically for a miner, the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, not the one you know about mostly, but the Bureau of Land Management, actually an agency of the government. It comes against a miner with an uncommon mineral, which is a valuable mineral deposit, with a leasable saleable rule. A 3809. Your first attack is not about what they say in the letter. It's about them applying the 3809 rule where it's not applicable. Because they did that, they have no jurisdiction. And so that's pretty much the answer. If we were in a justice society, we'd say, hey, you made a mistake. You can't apply that rule to me. But they go more. They double, triple, quadruple down. And so I've had to learn to escalate for minors and myself and ourselves against every facet of the vulnerabilities that we have that they exploit. Which are not vulnerabilities more than their trust breach. And that's what we're ultimately talking about. This government was set up as a trust, officials that are in trust to us, and then they deal with its legal entities and not as a beneficiary to the trust that we established for our benefit. Yeah, I just said a lot of legalese, right? A lot of legal jargon. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you really have to step back and say, I've got something to learn. Because learning that started to straighten up quite a bit for me. Now, we moved off of my tabs a little bit, moving into how we, in the PSA side of this, and so I'll move back to the PSA to get me back into what I've been talking about, been hearing in the news, and good news, if you will, comes to me via email, and thank you very much for this. I didn't know about this, that we were talking about these forever chemicals. Well, apparently there's people working on it, and lucky that they are, because, chemistry, living by chemistry didn't turn out to be so good when they decided that you can make profit, but the waste of it is expensive, so we're going to ignore it and have every legal device to protect a liability and culpability against poisoning the earth. The conflation that we hear now, they call climate change, with pollution being jammed and mashed together to a political, ideological, foreign ideological imposition on all nations. But these forever chemicals are serious. That people, there are scientists, and I have to believe this story is real science, the way it worked out. I'm really fascinated by it. Forever chemicals destroyed by a simple method. So simple new method, that's interesting, because these are pretty complex molecules. PFASs, I still believe these P's are silent here. PFASs, a group of manufactured chemicals commonly used since the 1940s, are called forever chemicals for a reason. Bacteria can't eat them. Fire can't incinerate them. Water can't dilute them. And if these toxic chemicals are buried, they leach into surrounding soil, becoming persistent problems for generations to come. Now, Northwestern University chemists have done the seemingly impossible. Using low temperatures and inexpensive common reagents, in the research team developed a process that causes two major classes of PFAS compounds to fall apart, leaving behind only benign end products. Interesting story. I'll just leave it there. So I just touch base. This story, it makes me smile a bit. People are working on problems. Again, the mind of man can work on his problems. It isn't a doomsday scenario like we always hear all the time from these doomsayers. In this story, I was interested that scientists, if you will, didn't have a clue about these things. This touches me a little bit more in the mining, because sometimes there's minerals that are bound up in certain ways. If you do the wrong process, you'll never get at the valuable mineral you're looking at. To test for it, you'll never see it. They're right there. You can't get at them. It was a whole new awareness. Years and years ago, I came on in the mining issue. Again, mining has been all my life as a kid. I grew up with it. So it's always been an interest. But this chemistry got interesting to me and found out that certain forms of minerals and molecules that bind up and you can't look at it. There's no test that can see them. If you try to break them apart, they bind hard or tighter. This reminded me of this group of molecules. There's like 12,000 of them. So the two they have, they got more. But the point is they've learned something. This is the exciting part about this part. This showed that science didn't have a clue about these chemicals that they made. They were bound up. This also shows that the minds can come together to identify how that they didn't know. They realize these complex debondings are more complex. There are more steps between it. They figured that out. There was independent confirmation. Now, here we're coming into science. This is where you have a theory and someone comes and proves it out independent of you by a different way. They prove it out. So that was really cool to watch in this article. And then they invent, and then the process of the originators of this idea, they invent a new analysis. And that happened to be computational analysis for computers, or highest tech computers, to be able to crunch the computational analysis to yield that simple practical answer, which turns out to be essentially, I'll use it, DMSO and sodium hydroxide. And that was pretty interesting, that no bacteria might be able to do it. Well, what about a fungus? Because that's like a mycelia. As I was telling you, maybe there's going to be a mycelia. The mycelium of a fungus that's going to be growing in the ground that eventually will be able to find these forever chemicals when they can survive on it and dismantle them. Well, sodium hydroxide, that's partially hardwoods burning, is partially sodium hydroxide. DMSO is made by plants. That seems like a future resolution, but that's going to be maybe too poisonous for us. So a very interesting thing, the simple practical answer was found, but it was a simple practical response. Don't force something. Look to a simpler method. And I think we can learn a lot by this story, and I found great interest in it. Thank you again for the emailer to heads up. We don't have to conflate doom all the time, but we do have to focus in on real problems. And instead of watching all this nonsense in the world and having to deal with things like Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab or fall prey to Fauci, or other military attacks at warp speed, we as a people, I think, have, well, in breaking down political animosities, which is not being done by the U.S. at all anymore, but if we could do a couple of these things, we see little glimpses of pretty neat futures. At least I was inspired by this certain type of thing in my mind, in my life, and never got there. In fact, lots of this cancel culture, I find, as I look at all they're doing today, a lot of this cancel culture kind of interfered with my life, and I didn't understand that. Affirmative action started to be the first type of thing, even though it was presented as being a balance of helping the underprivileged. Well, that was listen to the word, underprivileged. That was part of the plan way back when. They diminish everybody that way. Not on the point here. Forever chemicals. And we may find a simple thing. Now, you have to look very carefully. I went to the organic side, to the nature, maybe in the future be able to find a way to do this. That's not where they went. They said that they can now take this process possibly, again, it's still in the lab, and apply it to things like filtration, which they now have filters or membranes that will bring these chemicals out, and they can, to some measure, now reprocess these membranes and filters that they have in a more manufactural processing possibility to deal with the captured PFAS and not because they can't deal with them otherwise. So this is another step, a couple more steps of implementation. When I saw that they were natural DMSO and sodium hydroxide, I figure, well, nature can produce that. There may be an organism in the future that we find that will start to deal. Maybe they're doing it now, but they're not. But we haven't. No one's looked at it. So even though we have a serious problem and they cause serious defects in us, serious problems to us, and possibly most other life. Again, there's a glimmer of hope. And it's not just a hope and change. No, these are, when you look at the story, there's someone, oh, this is the other thing I want to point out. This computational analysis that they state was provided to us by, I think it was a woman, it could have been a guy, I couldn't quite tell, named Yuli, who has understood how to do this and makes the computational forms that they run through the computer. I was interested that in this article, they don't say artificial intelligence. They gave proper credit to the man or woman that made the computational analysis that begins to understand this, and they didn't give it to AI. So I found that very interesting here. They gave proper credit. Men and women do this, not computers. The computers are tools. Moving on to last week, and then moving from there, we ended up with wind droughts, and the whole idea here was energy. And that's, I guess, the breakdown. You break those components down, and an organism can get energy. It's going to go after those forever chemicals eventually when they get strong enough, and they'll break those down for the energy and for what, like a mycelia will pass the component parts that it breaks down to plants. It's a communicator. And they use these communicating chemicals to communicate as if it's a network for plants within the ground and the soil. This is why partly you look at soil and it's maybe not so healthy when we do monocropping and just keep chemicalizing things and tearing it up. Although I didn't see originally the efficacy of no-till, I do see in a certain one situation, maybe that's correct, but it requires you have a full understanding of your soils to not touch it. Let the soil become an organism to do it for you. And so there's always this analysis, and mankind goes in quick and wants to do the profit, not take the time. As an analogy, the mining law was to slow miners up so they didn't go in quick and destroy stuff up. And they gave the land to them so they could settle down, slow down, and look more closely and deeply and more thoroughly to get the minerals out, the valuable minerals that are hard to find. And so there's a natural thing about some of this, and interestingly, that always going more natural, even though there's man involved, looking at the problem and really solving it, really can do some better things than what we see as a fear-mongering, hope and change, lying, calling things science that are not, then deceit, how you pretend it's science by using statistics. This forever chemical thing, you're not using statistics. You're having to actually solve the problem. And it ends up coming out to be a simple answer, was a really cool thing. But like I say, we're moving into energy. Now we move into what's going on in the weather. Now I'm going to move into this, and not the climate change of politics, but the weather here a bit, because we're looking at a future in a winter potentially that's being used as an excuse that it's hard not to know that these people didn't know that this was coming on. And I think there's evidence that we could know this was coming on in our future. Despite all the flooding we've been hearing, we've also been hearing about the drought. I went to wind droughts. That was touching, yes, last week, about the energy, because these wind droughts were tied to green energy and how a wind turbine in a wind drought is not going to serve you any energy. It just can't do it. And there, these things are real. And so there's weeks and weeks and weeks on end, you're not going to get wind, notwithstanding you put, it's not like you make a windmill and the wind will come. All right? So, again, understanding natural systems, truly understanding them is very important, not making them up, not putting more fear and dread, but just looking. You have to really understand and understand there's limitations. Understand there's variability. And the systems have to be designed within all that. Mother Nature works within that. We don't probably have, I assume, no organism that can break down these PFASs. Notwithstanding, there's two simple organic materials that it's available. Just because those chemicals are so minute, they affect nature in negative ways, but they're not enough to sustain an organism or drive an organism to want to go collect it. Or those organisms are so small we don't see the cleansing effect that nature's going on. Again, even plastic, there's an organism to eat plastic. So, eventually. But moving back into energy, and where this winter's going, and we're working into a real serious problem here, and it's spreading, because a lot of this energy stuff, again, you think it's not in, you know, gasoline, it's all this energy stuff. Modern societies need energy of many forms. And we've developed many forms. Some have varying degrees of byproducts that are good or bad in this case. But the wind drought thing is a real condition. You can't base your society on green energy windmills nor water if you are going to think that your society is going to be sustained. That I was moving last week from wind droughts and wind into the weather drought that we're watching. Signals may not be telling, may be telling us the future, but not necessarily the future that's obvious when you're quickly looking unless you put some thought to it. This year's Yangtze River flood season spells the opposite disaster, drought. Now, and I don't want to get too deep into all the back and forth, but they were claiming that this global warming would create so much moisture in the air we would have flooding everywhere. We're not seeing that. We're seeing the opposite. So right there, we have a problem with the hypothesis. Right there, we better, as people, because societies demand water. They demand energy. You better pay attention, because this could mean a disaster for society. And today's next few tabs will explain the signs of coming on, the history that this exposes. It's kind of a neat, really, another neat observation we can see in the world of nature can give us an eyesight into the past, even here. But today, we're having a drought in the biggest river in China. In a summer 24 years ago, a catastrophic floods killed 4,150 people and forced more than 18 million people out of their homes, causing economic losses of 255 billion yuan, that's $38 billion in China. Even before that, the state and local governments are on high alert every summer, especially in areas near major rivers in the city. This year's flood season, however, spells an opposite kind of disaster, drought. Yangtze, the longest river in China, is shrinking due to less rainfall and high temperatures. Okay? So we should have seen more rainfall with high temperatures. Global warming was something. But moving on, they are seeing drought. They're seeing lesser water. And we now think into the future, what is this doing? And we saw, I talked a little bit last week before we moved into this segment here on this subject, but it's affecting societies. The interesting thought I wanted to get on the droughts is also giving us a record, a historical record that we can go peer back into, which I thought was fascinating. A severe European drought reveals sunken World War II warships on the Danube River. Over 20 ships emerged, folks, as the river faces remarkably low water levels. Europe's scorching drought has revealed hunks of and dozens of German warships that became submerged during World War II near Serbia's river town of Porajovo. Just leave it right there. You can read more if you're interested. I found the fascinating how quickly we can see Mother Nature and its variability. But we also can see the history here of what it's going to disclose to us for future people. If they don't clean this up, they likely won't. But, you know, again, trash is not something that people want to make money at. Recycling was the closest thing the society developed in order to allow for some of that to happen. And then they started to exploit that as well. As anyway, so going back over to here, again, this dropping water, we're supposed to actually see floods everywhere because of, you know, they said global warming water in the atmosphere. We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it at all. You see pretty much the same type of weather. It's just changing, moving around. It's a fluid and dynamic system. Pretty fascinating system. Beyond our minds, our best computers, we can go find the how to break down the PFASs, make a simple response. But do you think they can predict the weather? But those same computers, they haven't got the algorithm. It's just too complex for us right now. Maybe in the future, the algorithms will be able to look for other algorithms, and finally someone will prove out some of this stuff. But for us, we have to just kind of live watching it happen to us. But we can take future view of the past here, as videos shows an ancient Spanish Stonehenge emerges amid a severe drought. What I want to say here also, as I say that, these are not unknown. These were found. These things have been found before. Now, this is the underlying point. We have wind droughts. They're now known. They didn't know about those before. Well, they started learning when the windmill stopped turning for weeks on end, and they didn't understand in a windy spot, why, how come we don't have wind and we need the wind? We need the energy. My company's going down the tubes because I'm not getting my energy money. But here we have a Spanish Stonehenge. It was discovered way back when, in the 30s or something, and they're claiming that it's old stuff that comes out and shows us prior civilizations. I suppose they suffered rising sea levels, didn't they? Well, if that's the case, it can't be called climate change. It can't be called anthropomorphic global warming, can it? And here's my underlying point about science and observations and what we have to put application to what we see, give a credit to what we actually observe. Don't work on the fantasy and irrationals of all these people that are just doomed fearmonger. They're fearful inside, I guess. They're diminished people anyway. But Spain's severe drought has revealed an ancient... Where's all the water, folks? It's all the same everywhere. Where's the water going? Well, go look to your flooding areas. That's where it goes. It's like, as I pointed out to you, hot areas, go find the cooler areas. There, go look at the actual map. In fact, I think I'm going to get a tab. The actual maps show we aren't that much hotter this year. In fact, we're a little bit cooler generally, even though we're having such a heat wave in certain spots. But the Spain severe drought has revealed ancient stone circle located in a dam with low water levels. The Dolmen and Guadalperal, also known as the Spanish Stonehenge, is thought to date back 5,000 BC. The structure are currently visible at the Valdecanas Reservoir in Caceres province. Maybe just stop there, just jump around. This was actually not the rising sea levels. This was a public works project that created the reservoir that flooded that place. And interestingly, there was there. The shape is interesting, too. It's a natural shape. Interesting to think about. Well, maybe what did it do? Again, we can go through lots of surmise on what that would be. The point is, it's there. It does have these stones. They are kind of neat. I don't know if I would attribute the manures that they do to what they say, but I haven't analyzed it too much more than to watch. And look, it's neat. There was something there that was man-made that now comes back to the surface that modern man, if you will, has caused to go away. I don't know what we could learn from it or not, but there it is. We're learning from the past. As we step back, as the water drops, we see more and more things exposed in the past that was us living through. And guess what? They were existing at times of droughts that are now being exposed again because we didn't see them because the drought ended. Their drought ended, filled up the place. And let's move step back farther in time. Really interesting thing here. Drought uncovers dinosaur tracks in U.S. park. This is pretty cool. I don't necessarily agree with what they're claiming is timing. I mean, we see stuff, but does it attach to a calendar? I'm not so sure. But when they tell me as a miner that we have deposits thousands and thousands of feet deep that were caused by folding and this and that, or just sedimentary buildup, or you got to go 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 feet up in the mountains to find deposits that were down in the bottom. When you see the Great Missoula Flood, burying everything from Montana to the coast, giant boulders moving all the way out into Oregon. There's a dynamic world out there. That's not to mention maybe lots of other things more catastrophic that went on. To see this picture when you look at it, a drought in Texas dried up a river flowing through Tennessee Valley State Park. Through Dinosaur Valley State Park, exposing tracks from giant reptiles that lived some 113 million years ago. I want to get back to this thing about the looking at the picture. If you look at the picture and you look at the sidewalls of this little drainage, and you know it's in Texas, it's about flat. There's only a few feet between the top deposits of the dirt and where these tracks sit in rock that may have been mud at one time. That's not a lot of distance and thickness to say there's millions and millions, hundreds of millions of years between those tracks and that side deposit. I don't know, to my mind, that we can rely on so-called science in this as well. Dating, I've looked at dating techniques. They all have their problems. My point here is I see interesting things. Take a little bit of water away from the earth, and look how little water it takes away. Look at all the history you start to see immediately, how fragile we may be in all this. But these dinosaur tracks are kind of cool. These are one of the longest tracks in the world, essentially, going right up the center of this draw as well, which is also an interesting thing to me. But they say this was on an inland sea, a sea that was on the ground. Would also say then the land is rising. Very dynamic world again, that we can, I get fascinated by all this. I don't know what to believe sometimes after all my life looking at all this stuff, and you find the incongruities of what one theory over the next. It still becomes a fascinating question, which is again science. It's kind of neat. Under normal conditions, these newer tracks are underwater and are commonly filled with sediment, making them buried and not visible. And again, so with this drought, it can be very, educational. We can take a positiveness from understanding there's been evidence of things here before, creatures here before. I don't know about the time scale, but I can still see what appears to be the evidence. What did they tell us? You let your mind wander. At least they're telling us that man has a lot not to do with a lot of anything relative to the earth. Again, this gets us back to what we do now that's a conflation of pollution with the natural dynamics of the earth and life on earth. Moving forward now, the past meeting the present demand, which is so-called man-made, anthropomorphic, the West's drought could bring about data center reckoning. The data centers using water here are water hogs, and that they are coming under increased scrutiny. My view on this, and they're citing here in the picture, is Lake Mead, United States, which is an artificial reservoir, kind of like what happened in Spain. It's dropping down, but now it's dropping down to where it's really critical. And they're, again, it's showing a lack of insight that even though there's evidence in the world that these droughts happen, man is not smart, intelligent enough to create enough capacity, though he has the capacity to make the capacity he needs for the largest variability. Now, what the oppressors do is they take this lack of forward thinking and lack of ingenuity, lack of preparation, and then they blame man for him causing it. Well, in this case, those data centers are what technocracy needs. I find it interesting the same people that are pressing the hysteria and the doom are causing a need for the water that goes against the people that they claim are the ones that are causing the problem. When a lot of this is, maybe they couldn't store anymore, it just was not storing enough, which then brings up the idea, why are they breaking dams down anyway? The West is parching, getting more so by the day. Lake Mead, the country's largest reservoir, is nearing Deadpool levels, meaning it may soon be too low to flow downstream. The entirety of the Four Corners plus California is mired in mega drought. Amid the desiccation, hundreds of the country's data centers use vast amounts of water to hum along. Dozens cluster around major metro centers, including those with mandatory or voluntary water restrictions in place to control residential and agricultural work. So the technocrats are using what you need to eat and drink. As I found in here, even though we have evidence, the droughts do happen, and we better look forward if we're going to have infrastructure that's going to put a demand on the water. Right now, they'd rather run these data centers than to water you and water your agriculture. I don't want to get more farther into it. You can read about it. But we see, if you will, the perfection of the knowledge that water is important to society, that water is important to economy, that water causes an increased cost, causes harms. In an interesting story, thank you again to the emailer for this. It's pretty cool. Hidden hunger stones reveal drought warnings from the past. So when we have to people today that talk about anthropomorphic anything, they're just ignorant, absolutely ignorant, and using that as a stalking horse to defraud you and society, to harm you, to destroy you. When we have written in stone, no less, talk about an ancient history. This is the most fascinating thing about it, that drought happens and hunger comes along with it. Expense, cost comes out along with it. An intensive drought is shrinking rivers across Europe, revealing stones carved centuries ago to give future generations, talk about sustainability, future generations a warning of hard times ahead. This is all before anthropomorphic global warming, folks. The Miami Herald reported that locals said centuries-old boulders known as hunger stones reappeared last week as rivers in Europe ran dry due to drought conditions. One such stone on the banks of the Elbe River, is it Elba? Someone from Europe can tell me, which begins in the Czech Republic and flows through Germany. The boulder dates back to 1616 and is etched with a warning in German. I won't say it. I'll just say the English as Google translates it. If you see me, then weep, is chiseled into the stone, giving us a warning from 1616. And guess what? It's not even, that is not even early enough. Apparently there's a date of 1417 in a rock, chiseled in the rock, to speak to the droughts of the past. In other words, there's a knowledge that we go through variable droughts repeatedly, and not necessarily so evenly, but we do go through them periodically. And they're pretty routine. That we shouldn't be looking at this. Nobody in government should have said, yeah, we're going to pull that dam down because we're going to save salmon. We're going to pull that dam down because we're going to desertify Klamath County, Klamath Falls. No, you don't come with a rational mind and do that. When you see evidence before anthropomorphic anything saying you're going to see these floods, we're going to write it in the rock. You're not going to see it until the next drought. Then you'll know. Perfect proof. Brilliant in a way. In a 2013 study, the team Czech researchers wrote that these boulders are chiseled with the years of hardship and initials of authors lost to history, adding that the basic inscriptions warn of consequences of drought. It expresses that drought had brought a bad harvest, lack of food, high prices, and hunger for people, researchers wrote. Quote, before 1900, the following droughts are commemorated on the stone. You want it written in stone here? You want it on the tablets, folks? Here. Here's how global warming didn't happen because of man. This is inside the variability that man knows the hardship about. These dates are 1417, 1616, 1707, 1746, 1790, 1800, 1811, 1830, 1842, 1868, 1892, and 1893. 1893, I think, is correlated to right before another disaster of economy in the United States. I guess they forgot to go down to the rock after 1893 to go chisel it, or the space ran out. The hydrological landmarks last surfaced during the 2018 drought. Bring us up to current temperature, current time, current conditions, to show you there's a history of knowledge of man that knows that we're going to go through these, that we should not absolutely should not be worried that it's going to happen again and all of a sudden be fretting. We're just a bunch of dumb people. Just a bunch of really dumb people. I don't know what to say. How else do you look out in the world and say, we're just a bunch of dumb people? There's people that chisel it in stone. Can you imagine the last dying thing someone's doing to put a date in a rock? Because they're dehydrated, they're no food, they can't pay for it. Can I end here now? Do we get it again? I mean, I guess I can't. One more. Because this speaks another time. This speaks into the history of the mind of man. Not AI. Not anthropomorphism. This is the reflection of man of nature. But the current drought Europe is experiencing could be the worst in 500 years, according to Andrea Toretti, a senior researcher of the European Commission's Joint Research Center. Oh, so we now have the European Commission, they're involved. They knew this stuff. Why are you looking at a problem in Europe when these people knew? If they knew, this is a fraud against people. They're destroying your societies. Why do you put up with it? As I've told you before, 500 years, we were seeing the stories over and over again. This is the length of time of a cycle. This may be the worst of it, but it certainly has happened before. We're just now uncovering the rocks that someone had to be at that was chiseling. Maybe their feet were dry. Otherwise, they would have been being fought for the water right there while they were chiseling because they chiseled in that rock. It was drier. But it happened in 2018. It's happened before. It happens in cycles. Why are your officials allowing this to come on to you? Why are you allowing this to come on to you? And here, now we're coming late to the drought. We better get responsible and figure out what we're going to do in spite of our lack of response, in spite of our lack of foresight. That I look now, boy, I wish I'd have had this knowledge before. Maybe we wouldn't be so susceptible to the suggestibilities of psychopaths. As we see those psychopaths bringing on, this is the anthropomorphic damage that's going on. These psychopaths, these men and women, creating information like this, that this study claims more kids are fat and unhealthy because of global warming. Can I stop reading? Is it enough there? A subtag here. Not because they're fed garbage, in other words, and encouraged to vegetate in front of iPads and TVs. No, the study claims. Studies, this is no more than the statistics and the studies they use to destroy the societies with the fraud, this medical martial law they've imposed, because we're not too forward-thinking people. We don't even use our own real science. We don't even look at nature. They decide they want to protect nature. They never look at nature. This is the signature of these psychopaths. Again, global warming is a fraud. It's a political climate they change, and the political climate has been going on, and with a subtag tells us the very information that the data centers are using to take food and water away from you is the very thing that's making your kids fat. I'm sitting around using that technology as they themselves put their young selves into the world of big data to be manipulated all their lives. Okay, I try to pull these tabs together to show you that they're telling us the story right up front. We need to apply what really goes on and see that how they're doing it to us. That they promote this stuff is pretty, it's funny. I mean, it's a joke, isn't it? But no, when you understand that they've caused a political overthrow everywhere of the world. I mean, that's mind-blowing. But that they did it, and they did it like this, with this kind of thing. How gullible people are. And you see these kinds of stories of global warming causes fat kids. What else do we really need to know? That the people that are causing these studies need to be put away somewhere, don't they? Or isolated or something. So don't look at the real health needs of the little ones. And that's partly the mothers and fathers, isn't it? And we're all kind of suffering underneath ignorance and the lack of good knowledge as well. It takes a lot. I don't even know what I know that's right. I just know what I know. What I know and I apply seems to work better. But getting back to Redneck Dennis, he talked about cholesterol. If you look at cholesterol, you say, you need cholesterol. If you ain't partially a fathead, you ain't thinking. What I said earlier. Hope you get that joke now. Hope it was a joke. Not a joke. Cholesterol is a natural thing. Keeps you going. It's in cells. It's in your brain. And you say you start to go, okay, well, then what about cholesterol? All right? And then they start, you're watching these studies they throw out in your face that are not necessarily science. They're just a bunch of studies and all this other nonsense. And so you have to start learning how, as I try to bring behind the witch head, how to parse through all this nonsense. It's tough. That's why, in a way, I stopped judging people for blood. But at some point, there has to be a judgment. It's not a judgment of the people. It's a judgment of the actions of the people, especially when they start harming and trespassing upon you. Now, they're not worried too much about going and fixing your kids. They're going to blame it on global warming, anthropomorphic. As I've showed you, nature is causing the trouble. Man knows it, chiseled it in stone. It's coming to you. And now that you read this, it's come to you. Look to the future to fix this. No, we don't do that. It happens in 2018. We don't stop all the data centers from sucking the water out of Lake Mead and everywhere else to give you agricultural products. No, we don't do that. And we also fret, instead of giving our little ones good health care, we fret over the data that destroys your ability to get health care, as we see chaos after heat crashes computers leading London hospitals. Two of the UK's leading hospitals have canceled operations, postponed appointments, and divert seriously ill patients to other centers for the past 3 weeks after their computers crashed at the height of last month's heat wave. The IT breakdowns and guys in St. Thomas's hospitals in London have caused misery for doctors and patients, and have also raised fears about the impact of climate change on data centers that store medical, financial, and public sector information. If you don't know how I tied together this medical martial law is, how more important it is to your care that they keep relying on it, they got no backup, and I don't see their connection saying that they lost the suction pump to their data centers that was giving their heat prostrated computers a problem in their buildings. But no, they mashed this whole thing together. You got a whole bunch of people believing in it, and we're going down the tubes as a society. My point to you is understand anything can happen to your digital systems, your infrastructure, the war against you, the battlefield Internet of Things, and your life is now without. I don't know what we do about hospital care, about doctors that are even in misery. Not Missouri, misery. Well, same thing, maybe. How do we solve that? It certainly can't be with relying on systems where the AI, the Matrix is not a movie, starts sucking its energy from those people. Just by your existence and your energy, that's enough for it. And it survives where you don't. I can't understand how the heat crashes computers. Again, it's not, the engineer's not looking forward. It's astonishing to me at some level. But how are you powering all this? Forget, we were talking about drought, no water. Well, where does that power come from? Green, wind-droughted turbines? I doubt it. But this is where life is going under the technocrat. The psychopath that has controlled, essentially, and you hear Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab talking about how his world leaders are in most countries now. Trudeau being one of them. But the computers crash, your life is over. The quality, they talk about wanting to build the quality of your life. No, it's over when this thing crashes and they can't stop it. Mother Nature is bigger. Mother Nature is better. Mother Nature's badder. Has nothing to do with man. It's written in the stone, that, folks. I don't even have to go far now, right? I finally found it. It took a drought to figure out, wow, there's Mother Nature's pretty cool. You don't want to fool with Mother Nature. You're not going to fool with Mother Nature. But the ramifications of all this heat, all this energy going, you see all this energy being sucked into the hospitals. Who's paying that exorbitant bill now? Well, it might be being offsetted and subsidized by you there in the UK. We have a telegram here, arrived at work tonight to be told we might have to shut the shop. This is employees looking at a business, looking at a power bill. Because there's not enough power apparently somewhere, all because of politics. The climate change that went on was the United States allowing its economic war, direct war, and letting Europe buy into that too, thinking that they were going to get some advantage, cutting their own throats. They've been bleeding to death. Redneck Dennis says all bleeding eventually stops. Yeah, we're going to watch that, but it's not going to be actual blood. It's going to be in the life of your society. Your blood eventually stops. But they arrived at the business last week. The electric bill came in 10 times dearer today. The gas came in at £900 to $10,000 they now owe. This is after they used it, and it's a small family-run business that has been here since 1982, and this would be tragic. Well, this is a $10,000 bill. If that small business can't do it, it's over. Those employees lost their jobs. How are they doing it? It's got to be a planned subsidy. But this is you, folks. All of a sudden, you turn around and your job may not be because the business can't survive. Long-standing jobs, when there was every knowledge before to allow this not to happen, and no official didn't, is got to be a plan. It's 100%. Well, I think Hungary's not there. Maybe, and then that Orbán gets vilified. But then the UK comes out to say, help everybody, to threaten you some more. Now on your food side again, savings from unplugging the fridge, not worth food poisoning, UK health authorities tell you. Well, where were they to stop the fraud, the martial law fraud that they put on you relative to, I won't even talk about it, what you saw happen in the last 2.5 years. UK Health Authority Security Agency comes forward to tell you that warns that diarrhea and vomiting are too high a price to pay for saving on electricity. What about blood clots? Oh, did that trigger something, Sam Mines? Ah, sorry. Turning the refrigerator off to save the electric bill creates the risk of infection in food. The UK Health Security Agency warned budget conscious Brits on Wednesday as energy bills soar. How are you budget conscious when it's 10 times more than you could ever pay? That's outside a budget. That's extortion. That's using what you need on a thing you have no control over. That's unconscionable. Let's go there. Where's the queen to pay for this one? Where's the economy, the government economy to pay for this? Are they able to afford their electricity? Food poisoning is a result of sudden onset stomach cramps, diarrhea, and vomiting that can be potentially life-threatening in the elderly and infirm is what the government has imposed upon its people. But, there's the PSA part. Don't do that. You're going to have to either figure out other ways to make refrigeration or stop using the refrigerator or leave it plugged in. Don't play that game. If you want to know more about that, go take a course or find a study on how you handle food. Food handling, I think everyone should actually learn that so you understand the basics of food. Your food security is that it's safe for you. Learn how to handle it. If you can't afford, I told you, stop using the electricity. Learn, you're going to have to go to survival mode now. Don't get caught. Don't get sick. Especially when you go to the hospital and what? Their computer's down. They got to send you somewhere else. That could kill you. But on top of that, the man-made threat of food poisoning adds to an already formidable triple threat. The health Secretary Steve Barclay says, looming on the horizon, the soaring cost of living, the another wave of COVID-19, I had to say it, it's written in the writing, I want to point this out, that's self-inflicted, they caused that fraud, and the return of the flu, that one might be real, that comes every year, which vanished completely last year due to the use of hand sanitizers, masks, according to the public health in England, actually it vanished because of the statistical fraud that was done to take those influenza numbers and give them to a non-existent infectious agent. The triple threat. You see it right here, folks. Just a couple of paragraphs. But do not mess with this. Do not unplug your refrigerator. It is set up automatically to work. If you can't afford it, don't use it. I will offer very quickly, and I haven't done it myself, But I've been looking into it myself, looking at some different things and how do we move it where we don't have it, because it may be that that's what the fact is for me. There's big ceramic pots that you can fill with water with an insert container that you put your food in, and you make yourself a refrigerator by evaporative principles, where the water comes off through the pot, fairly large pot. It evaporates, drops the temperature, I can't remember now, maybe up to 20 degrees of the surrounding air temperature, and that may be enough to give you some minimal refrigeration as a thought. I haven't done it, but I've seen it. I've seen people say that it works, and I've seen the events in video, and so it's very neat, and so we might be able to kind of get away. They used to do this in places where it was pretty warm, and they still had somewhat of a good, decent refrigeration condition. But don't mess with food poisoning, as a PSA here. But here, the self-inflicted wound, as UK, going to go double down, triple down, quadruple down, UK passed debt and death sentence on millions by increasing energy price cap by 80%. The 80% rise in the UK's cap for consumer electricity and natural gas bills this fall will drive millions of households into energy poverty. What happened to your energy security that they were talking about back in the United States in 2010? Energy poverty this winter, as the worsening cost of living crisis stokes fears of recession. Fear, intimidation, and dread is terrorism. That's the government caused that. They caused it by the fraud of saying Ukraine caused anything, by cutting out their dealing with Russia, which was their only source of cheap energy. Again, self-inflicted wounds. When they did it 100% across of the Europe through the EU, that's a plan. I don't know what else to say, but maybe the people ain't having it because the UK now is, because of all this self-inflicted wounding they're doing to the people, the UK government is also warning, I guess health and safety and security, warned of civil unrest over people being unable to pay energy bills. So they know, folks. Energy executives in the UK have warned the government that, like, the government doesn't know. The government, that the country faces the prospect of mass civil unrest as a result of people being unable to afford their heating and electrical bills this winter. I understand I saw a picture, although I don't know if I can trust the picture. I don't know what it was. I guess it's people in Poland lining up right now to buy coal right now because they're anticipating not having it for winter. So the lines are growing long already. If you're in those areas, you better start thinking about it. The governments are forcing this onto you by, I can't see that it's not a plan. The government is being asked to approve a radical, quote, radical COVID-style bailouts of small businesses which face total ruination as a result of soaring energy costs. And you see now this medical martial law condition now being resorted to as a basis to continue to cause the austere life to be imposed upon you. Again, rationing is war. It's wartime, by definition, and they're doing that right now, right in front of everyone's face, about this, all done, and this is a third-party energy company saying, oh, we have to raise the prices, we need the caps raised so we can continue to do the plunder, and the government's not in any position to actually offer any of that except to allow the raising, and then they want to do the offset by the taxpayer, they claim, to pay off this subsidy that they have to give to everyone just to survive. What kind of an accountant runs that kind of a business, folks? And when you don't have an answer for that, then maybe this is a plan to destroy you. Now, all this is, we've been talking about the distinction between the weather and the climate. The weather, the natural weather and the political climate change. This fraud called global warming. And then we find, as we move along, as the self-inflicted wounds based on the medical martial law, which is all intrinsically tied back in through the Great Reset, which types us back through sustainable development, which one of the elements was that they would create this terrorism of climate emergency, fabricated, based in science, they claim, where I pointed out something to you where we real scientists appeared to be doing all the processes of science in order to solve a problem that man did create, the chemicals that we live by. We find the White House climate science overseer sanctioned and barred by the National Academy of Science for pretending. Okay, you got a campaign. I pause for reasons sometimes. This is the people that are advising us. This is like the Fauci. This is all the same type of people. They're in place. Klaus Schwab told us that. I got my global leaders positioned. I've been telling you that for years. Your systems have been set up since decades to impose the sustainable thing, the sustainability, the international codes. All this stuff becomes standardized. Even firefighting became supposedly international standardized when I told you about a fire. They brought in an Australian crew to fight a local fire in the United States. And they used fire management instead of fire suppression, and we caught them doing the fraud. All right, so there's a way to see this, and there's a way to catch them if you pay attention and you want to get do a study on the singular things in order to get that interest to you instead of trying to do the broad spectrum thing I try to do here to just give all this information out to find somebody that might be interested in some one thing that they might track down that's available to them to bring in and show how you all become part of this mutual army coming eventually together to expose your part of the frauds that are going on. The White House climate science overseer sanctioned and barred. There are clear violations of fundamental tenets of research. Axios reports that June Lubchenco, and boy, I've talked about her long ago, 2015 or something. I can't remember the organization she was part of through the United States. And I'm sorry, I needed IUCN. IUCN, I think it is. At any rate, I've talked about this woman, what they've been doing. All the agencies of the federal government go through this authority, or she was, fraudulently now. It reports that Jane Lubchenco, the Deputy Director of Climate and Environment at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, has been pulled up by the NAS for editing a paper later found to contain technical errors, as well as having worked with scientists involved in it, one of which turned out to be her brother-in-law. I'm not going to say any more about that. Your experts in science are frauds. They're fraudsters. They're conflict of interest. They don't actually do science. Their statistics and studies of studies are not reliable. And this is all the snow, the weather, the storm that you have to look through when you're looking at these issues. And that's why I say you got to learn some of this stuff to parse through quickly. This loop, Cenk, I've been reported on. We suffer underneath these things with the federal agencies and this woman through various international connected organizations. We've been doing this for well over a decade with having people be harmed. Good people doing production, just wanting to make a living for their families and be family, that these people, like her, are exposed. And not even, I can't even imagine, this is not even a tip of the iceberg here, what happens. We're seeing it, but we're not actually giving force and effect to it. These are one of the people that are in place to destroy your life over time, make precedent and record, which the plausibly is used in the courts or plausibly used by other agencies in order to defeat us. Why? I've asked y'all. You got to find where the jurisdiction of an agency to act. Find the jurisdiction and authority for an official to act. Once you can destroy or show that they haven't shown on the record, which is their burden, that there isn't yet on the record their authority, or you can show that it doesn't exist, or that it can't exist, even better. Now you've got them outside of all their authority at all. There's nothing that they have to rely on. But this is one of the women that in the lines of, in the infrastructure, in the hierarchy of the deception, that we finally, after decades, finds out a little bit of how they work. And they don't have a scruple about staying away from it either. That's the other thing. That's partly more scary. How brazen it's been all this time, and they really don't feel the heat. Not like you. Not like your computers, even. But we have a sideways on this a little bit. White House's climate advisor sanctioned article coming back to respond in general. Aren't you weather exaggerators embarrassed? An article by Joe Bastardi. It's a question I have to ask given the countering information to what is being pushed here. And they show a little graphic of the Washington Post called Horrorscape. The summer is hellishly hot. The summer has not been hellishly hot in the United States as a whole, and it is well within the range of natural variability, easy to see coming from months away as Europe's hot summer. Since we forecast both well in advance, We have the right to say that, as opposed to nonsense like this occurring after the fact of apparently unaware that the month of August turning cooler is going to chop down how hot its winds were. But look at the forecast from the preseason from weatherbell.com. That's the entry of this article. They show you graphics. They show you temperatures. They show you the hot spot. They, just like we saw in Kansas and Toto and the dead deer, dead beef and all that. And then it shows here's the 60 days. Here's the last 60 days. And you see, yeah, it was hot in the center, but the sides are cooler or neutral. And there's cooler up north, notwithstanding it was sought some heat. And the point is, I want to get back to what he stated, the variability. Same language I use, same language you should use when you start looking at the overall history of a lot of things, and it's natural. It's in nature. The people that talk about global warming, that talk about, they say the weather is hot, don't pay it, and then they say that's a cause, they're not looking, they're antagonistic to nature. While they use it, nature as a stalking horse to promote their psychopathy. It literally is a mental illness. And I don't, and I see lots of people see that when they see the nonsense coming out, but it's not going away. And the infrastructure is such that it's not going away. The infrastructure is such that it's what I come to tell you how to defeat, because it's going to not go away. And until we get a mass of people, even though I'm not much in elections and office, we do, I've told you, well, we can fight. There's so far and few in between is why I don't engage more. When we can find a commissioner locally, we haven't found anybody greater than a local commissioner in a couple of counties that will help and actually work down through the law. Where we find those commissioners, boy, we give them all the help we can. Where we can't, see, we're not going to go anywhere. So I haven't found, but there's only been a couple of commissioners local that can receive the information they need to know and then champion that information that's the right information, counter the Bar Association, which will advise the other commissioners against the law, show how to defeat them, and then press the actual thing that's supposed to happen in the black and white through the thing that's being evaded. When we find politicians that turn to actual being representatives, we can get a lot of work done. To the extent that we need to get more people in, then I guess I would concede that we need elections to get those good people in. But if nobody's going to step in to be the good people, the real good ones, not the ones that David Tulis may explain to you, the good people. No, the ones that are good representatives, the good statesmen, to actually champion representation of the law. I don't see much help in elections, but if they're there and the people go in and they're good people, we can bring the law to them, the facts, the objective basis, and we bring it in a way that no one can defeat you. That's why you go that way. Because they come up with all these adjectives for something that's not going on to promote the agenda. No one looks around and says, wait a minute, you're looking at it a very finite scope of time in a very finite place and for a very specific fraudulent reason. Then you're using that reason as a fraud. The stalking horse. Women, children, and the indigenous. They just throw those out there so you feel sorry for them. Oh, they need so much help. Just leave us alone and maybe we'll be fine. Leave our families alone and maybe that's fine. They won't need so much help. Stop interfering with the families. Maybe we won't see the type of problems that you're developing for us. And for goodness sake, stop saying that man creates anything when you're the man that's causing all this fraud in order to make it look like you got to say. Because what happens here is a story I got, thank you to the UCY chat tango chat from last week. A fading smile of a dying empire. You see here this article is someone who's lived in a town and watched it degrade. You're watching how that process works. And I don't know what more to say than to say this is the truth. You've got a picture of a building. It's degraded. It had a smiley face on it. There's no smile to it anymore. There's just little bitty eyes. It's all faded. And he shows in how the county that he lives in, Pennsylvania, slowly degrades. His family and everything, everything starts to degrade. And yet you get to the end of it and he's still, and this is the push here. He's still hopeful. And I guess it's going to take more than hope. He still believes, despite the degradation, if we just come to work to the proper point, he can, if you will, paint a new face on the side of that and bring the smile back. We're in a bad way. A lot of it's because we've let people who are ignorant or be ignorant or just corrupt inside systems that were established that the people had to be vigilant, that those people were actually representing their needs and not those of infiltrators, not those in of, if you will, commerce over what people needed. Again, the little problem of not being able to challenge a corporation for its public use because they shifted that the corporate officials only had to make sure their shareholders were in good shape. Profitability was the key. Seems to be one of the core problems. Then moves us into public-private partnerships, and you get a glimpse of what Fauci was doing to make dual use of this, but it's actually an attack. But these corporations coming ostensibly for good reasons actually come for their own reasons, and they're actually using the system that you see that's been established to their advantage, to your disadvantage, and you don't have a say for it. And you start getting the degradation of your societies where you start watching how they attack all the things you need. Like I told you, whenever the Modernization Act that happened over for all your like food security and housing and all this other stuff they did in 2010 or something, the United States Congress. I think the Smith-Mundt Act was a Modernization Act, which you saw they modernized it by taking away the restriction of propagandizing. So modernizing is not a good thing just by that definition, but where this goes is governments get more powerful, the agencies within which gets less and less culpable, and they start doing more and more things that, to my mind, I don't understand how they got this far. Again, all the water law and doctrine law I've read relative to mining and stuff, how it applies to patent land and all this, I don't know how the state of California has done this, but your life degrades by officials causing degradation and the people not responding. A little bit of a shocking thing to read here, but here it is nonetheless. It's been going on for probably a year. California targets private property with the latest water well fees and charges. So they've been trying to do that in the state where we're at, and they try to do that, but they have a problem that they can't go after, actually, if you will, the property water. They're not supposed to be able to go after the groundwater. What they've done is created the fiction that the groundwater is a common water. That's not how the water doctrine works. And a pertinent right of water is granted to the land. So there's a big disconnect here that's being allowed. We saw a bit of it with the state water department, which we addressed relative to mining law, shut them all down. They found out that their laws were no good, and they tried to proceed anyway. We shut that down, but we had to be engaged with the administrative process. And they ultimately didn't get what they wanted because we showed them that they didn't have the right to go after groundwater that way. So how California is doing this to go after private property and water is interesting. But I'll show you, and if you look carefully on this story, California is sicking its Environmental Protection Agency on property owners who have private water wells on their land and making them pay based on how much water volume they use, according to a new report. You've got to go read through this, and it needs to be more than what time I put into it to quite understand, but I'm going to give you a heads up how they might have done that. Another story here, as I reach there, California moves to regulate agricultural wells, constrict water usage, and control food production. So that's the ramification again coming, this water thing, this water drought. See, if they would have built, instead of tearing dams down or building more, they would be continually charging that water aquifer until you just had no water. But the more water that you can store, the longer the aquifers would stay charged is another self-inflicted wound. That the first thing they go after is your food. For what? Well, they're giving it to salmon. I'm not saying the salmon's a bad thing, but the salmon they're talking about there are the fish, not even salmon, the fish they're talking about there aren't even indigenous to the ground, to the land. The failed state of California has recalled governor, but he wasn't recalled. He was put up for recall. We're preparing for droughts in 2021 was the story. So this is back in 2021. They're now going to go after your water wells, but they did an interesting thing, so be careful about saying that they're stealing your water. They have given a presumptive pass to everything under 2 acre feet, which is quite a bit of water. And so by that measure, if you don't use that much, you're not going to be put on, they're going to exclude anybody using underneath that. And so this becomes a slightly different discussion, because if they're going to then go above a certain amount, then everybody under that amount is already protected, if you will. The question becomes for those that are above that amount and whether or not they can actually do to your groundwater and whether or not it actually can be considered a commons and whether or not they're contributing to the failure of that commons, even so, if it is a commons, or does the Western Water Law Doctrine actually require that it is what you can get, which usually just meant that if you use up all the water, you had to just drill your wells deeper until no one had any water. Because charging people for it doesn't bring the water back. They're not going to use those taxes to bring water back. It may limit some use, but to limit use means that when you go above the 2 acre feet, you're limiting food. And isn't that interesting? We go back to, they prefer to go ahead and use these data centers to use lots and copious amounts of water and not instead of forcing it to be growing to food. Why is that consistent? So in California, we have this Newsom guy making these rules. They want, I don't remember now, is it 2030, 2035? They're going to be outlawing all internal combustion motors, it seems, at all for this green new thing, which we hear has wind droughts, and they take away the dams, you're not going to have water. How are they going to power this place when all your devices are going into electrical? Where does that come from? It's not coming from green. Nothing's green. There's nothing you do that in modern society that didn't come out of the ground. That's the minor thing. I keep telling you about that. It came out of the rock. I've been looking for the video, the original. It came out of the rock was a video that they did a long time ago when they were telling people, you know, the value of production. In particular, this was for mining. A woman in a kitchen looking around and slowly everything that came from the rock disappears from the house until she's like standing there almost naked, I suppose, for that time. There's nothing around her that didn't come out of the rock. That's production. That's your food, essentially. That's the timber. That's everything that you need that keeps your families running. Families, they want to destroy that as well. But California's moving to now charge you for the water that used to be free. You can read all about it. And I think you need to, people will turn away from this. I really don't, not that interested. Somebody down there is going to have to grab this bull by the horns and figure out a way to go after these psychopaths that are literally destroying people generally. This has nothing to do with political factions. I have no, my mind has no view in politics. The politics turns out to be an overthrow of your government. That's by a usurper, done by agents internal, foreign and domestic. And I point this out because that's the public-private thing as well, but you have a private organization in states called the Bar Association that supplanted the permanent laws of the people for a model business corporation. Your government isn't even what it used to be. It's going through the purview of this guild that then breaks and supports sustainable development today, coming out with these things, and when you go to this courts, you're going to have problems. And so it's not going to be as easy an answer here. And this is my concern, and I don't want to even say too much more. This is where you see the people protesting in the UK just go and protest physically and then violently. And for those of you, I say don't pay your bills. If you can't pay those bills, maybe put the money in trust and then attack them. Put the money in trust so you show your good faith. And then attack the government for causing this destruction. Not the government, the energy companies sanctioned by the government to do so. Give yourself a place to be in an equity status, being right in equity. Don't go in with a bill that you haven't paid. At least put the money in equity and then attack them for the overage. But getting back to this, California is going to go after... It's not actually residential water unless that residential water is over 2 acre feet. But that's a limit, right? That's a limit. Now, that was not a limit before this happened. And the aquifer is recharged in some cases by how much water you can store upland that is being destroyed by the same government under the other provisions of that they call climate change. And the California governor was recently in a handshake with the Trudeau. So you see the connection. Klaus Schwab's agents are everywhere inside the government, domestic enemies within. As we move now, the handshake that we saw in California between Isom Newsom and Trudeau, we move over and see more connection. Exclusive leak, Trudeau installing weapons, armories, interrogation rooms for Ministry of Climate Change, as stated through the counter signal. And I want to bring anybody who's up in Kazakhstan, maybe to direct themselves to prove this out for sure or not. But note it, it doesn't surprise me. This would be the type of infrastructure these tyrants will be throwing in to their country. And architectural plans have been leaked to the counter signal, revealing Trudeau's sinister plans to weaponize climate change agenda. Right? It's not just climate change, it's sustainable development in all of its iterations, including your digital world, your digital IDs, all this kind of stuff. The Ministry of Environment and Climate Change Canada, ECCC, is building a new facility in Winnipeg that will be home to firearms armory, interrogation rooms, biological labs, media relations offices, controlled quiet rooms, quote unquote, and intelligence facilities. When you look at that as a military operation, they're pretty well self-contained and complete. They're kind of like any agency that self-enforces. But you understand it's in climate change, you understand that it's environment, like the EPA, it's one of the pillars of sustainable development. By its actions, it is a pillar of sustainable development inside your nation already. The plans, which were drawn up by a firm in Winnipeg, open a window to Trudeau's future plans for climate enforcement. Reported on this climate enforcement nonsense. It's not nonsense, I guess I should say. Be careful on what I say here. It's nonsense because it's psychopathic, and it's going to be. It's criminal, but it's for real. These people have figured out how to hack your legal system, how to hack your governmental systems, and you're standing there flat-footed. And I won't go through them as I read it. There's just more discussion on how they're setting up this facility. And interestingly, they point out this is being done in the middle of your agricultural area. And then that ties us into what? To the nitrous oxide stuff. And yes, nitrous oxide, they're saying. Nitrous oxide is laughing gas. I'm not going to have I don't think I have the link to you, but found out that laughing gas is exuded by the earth after the ice thaws. But I won't have that for you. So it depends on when these tyrants come in and measure your nitrous oxide, your laughing gas. That's why maybe farmers are happy people, I guess. Maybe laughing goats or something, but nature's a good place to be when the snow thaws. But they would go out and do tests of this nitrogen, and they're going to test. If you don't know that, they're going to test it at a time when it's inflated. But all these sustainable things, all these different facets, when someone addresses them, can be outed. And partly you do court cases in order to get discovery. And or you have the evidence as you've been building it because you've been focused on, not everywhere, just on certain things that interest you that you're really dedicated to follow down on, track down on. We move through more of what's going on relative to the frauds, that they move, again, this epidemiology is not science. They'll call it science because that's a fraud. These people are liars, so you don't have to go further. It's like last week I think I called the broadcast underlying. And not just underlying, underneath, but lying under. This is what goes on with all this. And so you're looking for that lie, and then you know them when you see them. You know them by their fruits. Well, I think that's even biblical. You know, right? I mean, Matthew or something? You know them by their fruits. This is not getting too far, really, from the basic knowledge. But tyranny of coward Justin Trudeau has been finally exposed by two Brits, no less. Actually, I read that. I didn't even, I said it, but I actually could have read it. So, someone causes a lawsuit that challenges Canadians' travel vaccine mandate and that they find that it had little to do with science and everything to do with politics. That tagline is no surprise to me. You know, it's no surprise to you if you've been listening to me that we're not dealing in, climate change is not weather change. It is political change. It's the destruction, usurpation of your established forms of government. And you watch this, you can find every bit of this if you look for savings clauses, and they refer you in the law that your vested rights are protected against some other process, like this alternative dispute resolution, or an administrative procedure, or some other organization, agency of the state. I point you to these things. That's how you know you're being occupied. So on August 13, 2021, 2 days before Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called a federal election, his government made a major announcement that, quote, early at the end of September, federal government employees would be subject to vaccine mandate. Further, no later than the end of October, a vaccine mandate for travelers would be implemented. And so somebody makes a suit against this. And what it finds out, and the government starts scrambling when they were required to go show that it was a bunch of nonsense what they were promoting. They actually had no science behind what they were doing. It was simply just the political tyranny that would be imposed. You would think sustainable development is politics. It's a political overthrow of established government. That it starts to come out that that's exactly what's going on. As I've told you before, you'll expose that yourself when you expose that the law wasn't followed and the due process they denied you was denied because of this. And what they've done is set up a fraud, and they're covering it with more fraud. The government's vaccine mandates were only icing on the cake at the top of a provincial vaccine mandate, masking and distancing requirements, and some of the hardest lockdowns in the Western world. Under the Canadian's federal system, these fall under provincial jurisdiction. See? They even fall, even in the Kyrgyzstan, it's the same way, local jurisdiction, although they certainly had the moral support of Trudeau's federal government. But there was no law being done. So the story here explains exactly what happened, exactly what the authorities are, exactly what they're talking. The epidemiologists were key here, but the epidemiologists are doing statistics. That's cooking the books, not science. Not like finding a simple chemical reaction to get rid of a forever chemical that was impossible before then to break it down. You're becoming the simple process, you, my listener, against these complex formulations of political overthrow. It took two people stepping forward. Read the article that they did it. Read that the government can't respond. Now, I'm interested to know why, if they can do that in Kyrgyzstan, where the United States is supposed to have a bigger, better justice system, why a guy like David Tulis can't get equity. Asking a similarly the same thing. Except, wasn't asking about the mandate side. He's asking about the authority to put on the mandate side. That's the step before. So we have evidence that the court would entertain, but we also have evidence that they won't in the United States of America. And this is what's promoting this whole sustainable condition. Court documents reveal Trudeau's unconstitutional travel vaccine mandate was motivated by politics. Another story, another aspect. I threw a couple of links sometimes on all this to give you different concepts that are brought in the way people report that become important. It names people. In this case, we move on to the next one. Newly released court documents from the case brought by two Canadian residents against Trudeau's communist dictatorship show the Prime Minister's unlawful vaccine was Rupa Subramania, a freelance columnist of the National Post and Nikki Asia, reported on the recent released court cases filed by the two Canadians. So that reporter now is seeing the information, now making it more public. It's picked up by another place, again, taking people to do things. Focus in on, get the evidence, don't make it up, don't mock my opinion. And I give you links then to Rupa Subramania Twitter account, going through the discussion on the website that you can read, that they'll have, discussing these things, how they rolled out, what they said. You can see that they're there. Again, I'm saying this so that you see these things, not that you listen to me and you nod agreeably that it's a crime and a corruption. It takes people to do things, take people with knowledge to do things, with the focus to get and dig up the stuff that's going to be needed. The documents included a damning email exchange where the senior TCA official is seeking a scientific rationale for the mandate from a PHAC official. Just over a week before it went into effect, he never got the rationale, as I call them now, they're irrationales, But the mandate went ahead. And so we get a picture that is not unlike what I'm telling you you would have found had you stepped forward yourself and wrote your letter and pressed and compressed and pressed and got to a point where you too could bring up a challenge. And I would hope before, not at the mandate part, where they didn't have the authority. Well, you found in the other article that they said the provincial authorities had the authority, then Trudeau had none at all, where the provincial authority didn't comply with law. I hope you see that in the very first tab I explained. Again, proving out what I've been telling you in these news articles are, again, the news proving out over and over the actual due process that was required, that failed, that deprived every official of any authority to do anything. And because we're silent, they are imposing all these facets, all these attacks. And you see, it's just focused in around your health, your food, your use of your land, the water, everything you need. I told you this long ago. Everything you need in your life is going to be deprived from you or put into rationing the austerity thing that they call prosperity. You got to know you're dealing with a bunch of clever psychopaths when they use prosperity for your decimation, your demise, your dehydration, your desiccation, your desertification. Again, these dams are put in under a desertification treaty that says that they're globally they're not supposed to get rid of dams and get rid of water that causes a desert, which is exactly the condition in Klamath Falls that I'm very clearly aware of, that these people advance and win in doing, showing you your Justice Department is a part of their soldiering, their war machine. And so we identify that there's no basis behind all this. They can't explain one. I told you, you're on the right side of history to attack them right there. If they can't show a rationale, they can't show the authority, right? That the jurisdiction has nothing to do now with the mandate. They never had the power to do to say boo, let alone to say something to you. But this is what happens in the silence if we don't act. Another French-speaking country, in part, I suppose, for those of you Canuckistinians that I guess are outside of the enclave, Macron tells plebes to prepare for a future as feudal serfs. Exactly what I've been saying, neo-feudal condition, the new Middle Ages. You are all going to be subject because, and like it, because they aren't going to allow you to have property. And if you have property, they're going to figure out ways to steal it, like in California, the appurtenant right of the groundwater, which they then declared to be common, which is not necessarily under that law. They're not under that law, as far as I can tell, but the judges will go with it, unless it gets too embarrassing like they did to Mary Wood up in Oregon, tried to get nature to have rights. That was a little too fast for most everybody. But here we have Macron telling you're going to be feudal serfs, essentially. They do it in their plausible legal language, defensible language, but they can tell you that you're going to change your world. You're changing your world because of the sacrifices you have to make to keep your nation strong due to climate change instabilities caused by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now we compile two things. All self-inflicted frauds that get you to buy in. And this is where you start to come to the point when the government becomes so bad, I don't know that the answer isn't to, and I'm not going to say it, isn't to go to physical contact. They are calling for an end of abundance is nothing more than the calling for austerity under Agenda 2030 that I read to you on this broadcast, called austerity. They call it prosperity. The end of abundance. Was it, how many people had abundance, folks? Not everybody had abundance. The weakest among us. No, they're going to go and make everybody weak. Look around you. Hey, so this is the face of the French voice, the French language, saying you're going to be essentially a feudal serf on this because you have to sacrifice for the nation. The nation to whom? It's not your organic nation. Interesting in this story, they talk about the Ukraine-Russian thing, and that just got me over to remember in this when they were talking about the Russia being the cause and the Russians were stealing the John Deere tractors. And so John Deere locked out those tractors at remotely. Remember, I talked to you a little bit about that, but I advanced it one more step, and I said, consider the software problem at the time that they were having this, we were talking as a repair, write a repair thing as well. Consider that a proprietary issue where you don't own that machine anymore, because they say that they own the software, but that it can be remotely turned off, like they did to the Russians. Again, you see Macron referring to that as a basis here of their control, that John Deere could turn that off. They can turn off anything for any farmer. But more importantly, let's move it into any software where they want to, like Neuralink, where they want to plug it into you, and you don't own the software, and they can remotely turn you off. So I moved it from just the tractor to you being a tractor, and they can turn you off going the technology. We move it back to here. Macron says you're going to be a feudal serf. You're not going to have property and like it. That's where that goes. You will be then controllable because you don't have a property in yourself or a pertinent right to it because you have no property. It'll just be deemed. This brought up that John Deere story in my mind, is for however it works. Again, the remote lockouts reportedly stop Russian troops from using stolen Ukrainian farm equipment because Macron was talking about that being a cause. And the response of the West was to lock out the John Deere, locked out the use of their tractors. Well, a story comes up now, and again, the frailty of all the water they're using over here for their data centers, that the hospitals now fail because they blame it on the data centers, notwithstanding their in-house computers fail due to heat, not due to climate change, but because Mother Nature said, this is the time we're going to get hot again. But I want to call out some information and show us the fragility of our digital systems again. But they can lock out the Russian use of the John Deere tractor. Means they can lock out all use. If it goes into property or software we heard about the mRNA technology software, right? And I told you that it's not, you don't own that. They do. But that it was made as like software. It looks like all everything is being looked like as software. This now, John Deere, where they locked us out remotely, is now comes in the news and shows that John Deere software can be jailbroken. In other words, it's like taking a phone and rooting it and getting command control of the computer remotely. This is anybody, not just this hacker figures out he can do it. If he can do it, then the Russian technicians can do it back and get control of the John Deere. The point is that this is all susceptible weakness and vulnerability for you living on that system. The John Deere jailbroken to run Doom at a DEF CON conference. Doom is a game. Okay, that gets us back. That caught my mind because that's just basic computer stuff. Nothing special. And if it can be jailbroken, it must not be much different than Android. John Deere jailbreak shows it's all built on outdated, unpatched hardware. Another vulnerability, not just the software, but the hardware. This brought up a whole thing. What is John Deere then protecting if they're using Linux? How are they proprietary to use an open source condition? This hacker hacked a certain thing. John Deere plugged all those hacks. He looked at it again and said, okay, I'm going to go after the hardware a second. And he did. Why? Because it's all on faulty hardware. I've told you about this over and over again. Our lives are being put on these data centers. They're all hooked up like a leash, and yet they're vulnerable. Every one of these computers are vulnerable. The John Deere proprietary, we're going to keep you away from working on your own product because it's ours. You don't own that part. We own you. Again, and you're like it. You're going to have to like it. If you want to do food, if you don't see the vulnerability here, is actually built on stuff that's not proprietary or protectable. And someone can hack it. This is, to me, it's just not even a story. I've talked about this all over, but to have companies raising the level of their ownership beyond and into control that has the ability to control your food and your existence should be very concerning to you. And if they're open to John Deere's hacking and this hacker, they're open to any big state hacker. And we get through these links, the daily links of Cory Doctorow, as his review of this DEF CON goes through to give us and gave me an insight of all the promotions that go on that ain't so. As I tell you, you might start believing stuff, people believe in, they're talking things that about just ain't so. They don't have the actual proprietary right. The only proprietary part I could find about the use of Linux was they went to a company, I can't remember the name of it, Red something, I think it was, which offers technicians to keep track of it. There was nothing about the software itself that was proprietary that they were claiming right to. And so I have you some links here to see how this vulnerability is. In some regard, some of you may be young enough to have the mind to be able to be those that we might rely on to hack these systems. And we will gain the property because these companies are trying to do things in a minimal amount. Again, they make faulty products, make claims that they don't really have right to. No one challenges it, so they win. That are actually have no authority, no control, and that is accessible if you have the knowledge. I guess partly I'm saying, if you have the knowledge of your establishment, your organic establishment that requires you to not be silent, you can so-called hack it. You're not actually hacking the organics. You're relying on those rules and that hardware in order to hack the system that was put over the top, rooted out your system that we now see today and the technocrats need so bad. The due process that's required that was failed that you didn't assert, you restart asserting that back. You patch the hack. You come back in no different than anybody can do now with the guy finding out about the John Deere hackable stuff. These corporations are making claims that they have no right to make. Again, just another type of fraud. So I'm going to move to another type of fraud. And I'm going to bring up this stuff as for us to keep track of really quickly here. I don't want to get too into side, but there's so much due process failures going on, the same pattern of crime going on within the FBI that we shouldn't trust and we shouldn't be governed by them and we shouldn't give our consent and all these other things, the consent of the governed. FBI warrant for Trump search relied on media reports. The earlier bungled Russia FISA warrants comes to mind on this story, where we now see that they're working on what you and I say, what you and I send around, as they claim probable cause. There's new things coming out about this that may raise the level. But understand, I think that the FBI shouldn't have been involved before the intelligence agencies or before the National Archive Agency was done. As we find, because if you don't have the due process and order correct, you start having people intermeddling. And in this case, Biden White House facilitated DOJ's criminal probe against Trump's scuttled privilege claims. They interfered with those claims. This all has a whole other due process problem that you'll hear, where you read the FBI, a retired FBI boss disassembles Trump search warrant. Read this story very carefully, because if you read closely, you'll read that there was a whole lot of due process that the current DOJ and FBI circumvented. This is the very type of due process I was asking for you to do with this monumental medical fraud that's been going on. And Trump, being the guy that he is, pretty bigger than life, he comes back after they release the affidavit and parodies the affidavit release with a heavily redacted press statement, and that had nothing but a bunch of lines on it, like the affidavit that was presented, and all you could read from it was "Make America Great Again" from it. Again, the parody of what's actually going on. Another link here, in the FBI versus Trump, the people lose. This is the kind of due process things I'm trying to point out to you, that you are losing. And the very last story here, officials confirm in connection to all this corruption inside, confirm the death of Connecticut, of the Jeffrey, I didn't kill myself, Epstein mentor, Hoffenberg, where Hoffenberg didn't apparently have his cameras running to find out why is he dead in his apartment. The corruption inside the government and all the dastardly deeds we'll never really know about. That's why you have to take the responsibility up front. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just opened a whole case of wolf math.